with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen. Lord, please bless this church and our minister. Keep them, protect them, and let us open our ears and our heart to the words that you have for us today. Before you go any farther, the youth are going to present a drama. So, hang on.
I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Hush, child. Hush now, and I will tell it to you. Even before dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags! Rags! New rags for old! I take your tired rags! Rags!" Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself. For the man stood 6'2", and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the rag man saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding 1,000 tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly he walked to the woman, stepping over tin cans, dead toys, and dirty old diapers. "Give me your rag," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then, as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking. Yet she was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing ragman like a child who cannot turn away from mystery. "Rags! Rags! New rags for old!" he cried. In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely cap from his cart. Give me your rag, he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, and I'll give you mine. The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. The hat he set on hers. I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow, it read a darker, more substantial blood, his own. Rags! Rags! I take old rags! Cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes. The ragman seemed more and more to hurry. Are you going to work? He asked a woman, leaned against the wall. The woman shook her head. The ragman pressed her. Do you have a job? She pulled away from the pole, and the woman sneered. Are you crazy? Revealing the left sleeve of her jacket, flat and empty, hanging loosely by her side. She had no arm. So, said the ragman, give me your jacket, and I'll give you mine. Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed woman took off her jacket. So did the ragman. And I trembled at what I saw, for the ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, she had two good arms, strong as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. Go to work, he said lovingly. After that, he found a drunk, staggering beneath an army blanket. An old man, hunched, wizened, and sick. The ragman, he took that blanket. And wrapped it around himself. But for the drunk, he gave new clothes. To run to keep up with the ragman, though he was weeping and bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, faltering again and again, exhausted, old and sick, yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs, he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, until he came to its limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow, and yet I needed to see where he was going in such a haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old ragman, he came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits. And then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. With tormented labor, he climbed a hill, and he sighed. He pillowed his head on the handkerchief and the jacket. He covered his bones with an army blanket, and he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I stopped and wailed. I cursed and mourned as one who has no hope, because I had come to love the ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he died. I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know. How could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and its night too? But then, on Sunday morning, I was wakened by a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sour face. And I blinked and I looked and I saw the last and first wonder of all. There was the ragman, folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead. But alive. Besides that, healthy. There was no sign or sorrow of age, and all the rags that he gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to the ragman. I told him my name was Shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. And I took off my clothes in that place. I said to him with deep yearning in my voice, dress me. He dressed me. My Lord, he put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The rag man, the Christ.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving us enough that you were so willing to die on the cross for us. And I pray that this message was able to make it into the hearts of all of those who get to hear it. And now that we can rejoice because he is risen.
Well, I don't get to start every sermon that way. But glad I got your attention anyway. So you saw Jesus in the rag man. You saw Jesus in that allegory. A little bit hard to miss, especially when the very end says the Christ, right? A little bit hard to miss. I think I remember the first time I read that. And you could tell right away where it's going. But from the very first encounter with the very first person, I said, that's my Jesus. I know him. I know that love. We recognize Jesus in the wounds that he takes on, in the sorrows that he takes on. This drama is based on Isaiah 52 and 53. It says that he was despised and rejected, acquainted with grief, but he took up our sorrows and our iniquities and took our diseases on himself. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. And that's what we see. Jesus intends to heal us as he's struck and beaten and cursed and slapped and crucified. His wounds are purposeful. They're to heal us. That's how we recognize the Christ. And that's how Thomas recognized Jesus, through his wounds. I don't remember if I mentioned this Friday night, I think I did, but I had a favorite song in my youth ministry days. It was called Forever, and it had a line that said, the nails in your hands and the nails in your feet, they tell me how much you love me, and till the heavens pass away, your scars will still remain, and forever they will say how much you love me. I thought it was strange that the Father would want Jesus, the Son, to be risen with scars. You'd think you'd want his healing to be complete. He's risen from the dead, after all. The scars are for a purpose. They're for recognition, so that we can see him. Thomas didn't know the Lord until he saw his scars and had an encounter with him in his scars. And that's what we're called to today. We're called to encounter Jesus in his woundedness, in his healed woundedness. His wounds speak to us. They are a message to us. They speak to us as we are wounded. Thomas had, I think, the most deadly wound of all, and that's the wound of unbelief. I could be terribly wounded, live through it, and survive, and there are folks here who've been dead and come back to life, and folks whose lives have been in grave danger. And yet, we're alive this morning, but the wound of unbelief could rob us of eternal life. Thomas had the worst illness, the worst wound, the worst condition that anyone could have, and that's unbelief. And Jesus met him with his wounds where he was, with his terrible need. Jesus meets us at our point of need with the scars that show the way he was crushed for us. The weakness that he had was for us in our weakness. The scripture summarizes the whole story with this statement, Christ died to save sinners. I'm sorry if you came to church today without any sin or without even the capacity to sin, because best deal you're going to get is deviled eggs. That's the best I could offer you. But if, like me, you know that you were born a sinner and that Christ died to save you and that you meet him in your point of need, and that's the most beautiful love you could ever experience, and then that's the gift I have for you today. That's the Savior I want to introduce to you and reintroduce to you and remind you of Resurrection Sunday is like a birthday or an anniversary. It happens every year. You hear the stories every year. You know what happens. But like a birthday or anniversary, it's important to remember. It's important to remind ourselves of who we are and who we have. So let's take a moment and remember really briefly the scars of Jesus. They say who he is. They're there for you to encounter when you see who you are and need an encounter and a touch from him. The scars on his face. Isaiah 52 says he was marred beyond description. That's a Hebrew word that usually refers to what happens to your face. The face is the place where we encounter relationships. Are you mad? Are you sad? Do you like me? Do you hate me? We see that in each other's faces. And because Jesus' face was beaten and bruised and bloodied for us, a purposeful wound, he restores to us our ability to relate to him and to one another. Jesus was wounded on the head with the crown of thorns and with the beating of sticks. And the head is the place of leadership, headship. The head of state is the ruler of state. And Jesus, the ruler of the universe, was crushed down to the lowest place, to death. And he was shamed in his death so that you and I, in the shame of our sin, could be lifted to the highest place and seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Jesus was wounded in his back. That's the place that carries our burdens. If you want someone to carry bricks all day, you want someone with a strong back. And Jesus says to us, because he has the authority by his wounds, he says, cast all your cares upon me and give me your burdens. Jesus was wounded in his hands. The hands are the source of power. The right hand of God delivered the children of Israel from slavery. And when Jesus' hands were nailed to the cross, they became powerless. So that us and our powerlessness over sin, we could be restored to a purpose. Your life has a purpose and a calling that was given to you before you were born. In Christ, you find the calling that was assigned to you to serve him, a special calling. And there are wounds in his feet. Feet are what bring us to one place to another, and as we're changing from glory to glory, we're lifted to a higher place, into a place of stability and strength. He sets our feet upon a rock, and he makes our feet like the deer that can go up to the heights. Jesus was brought down to the depths of the grave, and his wounds in his feet remind us that he lifts us to a higher place. But there's one wound that I want to bring to your attention today. And this, all these wounds, all these things I reminded the people on Good Friday, and I'm telling you again. The first wound that ever happened in all of creation happened to Adam. God put him into a deep sleep. No animal had been killed. There'd never been any skin that had been opened. But God put him into a deep sleep and then cut open his side. And reached into his side. And from Adam's side came the woman who was his wife. Adam became a groom because of the wound in his side. And Jesus became a groom because of the wound in his side. Out of Jesus' side came blood and water. And even in the second century, Tertullian said, that's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are the sacraments that make us children of God. And the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus loves you. I don't know if you've ever seen a couple on their wedding day. I don't know if you've ever seen a couple in love. I don't know if you've ever read the Song of Solomon in the Bible. I was a grade schooler and a kid pulled me aside and one others and said, come here. And he brought me to this Bible that was in our public elementary school. We're going to turn to the naughty part of the Bible. Something about coconut trees. I didn't get it at all. But if you don't know that the Lord really loves you, you need to look at the metaphor that God gives. Look at the way God teaches you. And if you ever want to insult someone, let them send you a dozen roses and just say thank you. And then change the subject. I'm calling all of us today to renew our love for the Christ, the Savior, who's loved us in a way that shows in his wounds. Bring your woundedness to him and encounter him the way Thomas did. And you'll say, my Lord and my God, and the rest of your life will be new. And we can always be renewed because we're being changed from glory to glory. Say, may the Lord bring a spirit of renewal to our hearts, our homes, our church, our community, and our nation. Amen.